Father, we just come to you today. We thank you that you do not change. We change. The world around us changes. So many things change so quickly and so fast. Thank you that we have you to hold to and that you never change. Whatever you've said about yourself that you would do, you will still do. Whatever you have said that you will not approve, you still do not approve. You are exactly the same God of all the ages, and always will be into all eternity. And thank you that because you change not, we can put our full trust, hope, and confidence in you in every circumstance, in every difficulty, in every question, in every battle of life. Now take your word and make it very, very real and alive to our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're one of those who like to take the notes or whatever and follow along with the notes or whatever, now would be the time to do that. This is certainly, today is more or less like a reminder message, but we all need these reminders. Getting a little echo, I think, still or something. But we certainly do live in changing times, and we talk about it a lot, but we really do. And it just seems like the change just keeps on coming, and it keeps on coming at a faster and more accelerated pace than ever before. And both in individual lives and especially on the world scene now, we see that things that used to take a few years or even a few decades to incubate and come to fruition now can just appear almost out of nowhere. How many have heard of something called a flash mob? Ever heard of such a thing? And because of social networking, they're becoming more increasingly, just a whole bunch of people just show up all of a sudden. They're just there, and sometimes they do something good, and sometimes they do something not so good. And of course, what you're seeing in the Middle East with the political uprisings and demonstrations, those are really flash mobs of a sort, because they coordinate them through the social networking. And so we've been able to see an unprecedented level of unrest all across the Middle East since the beginning of the year. And so much of this has been made possible through our social networking and our new means of communication. But again, things can happen very, very quickly. Of course, some things happened very, very quickly back in 1929. Not that many of us here today were probably around at that time, but people woke up, as I recall, with banks closed down and some rather unsettling things going on, and don't believe for a minute that those things could not happen again, because they can happen again. And we just live in a time of enormous change of every kind. I mean, every kind. Of course, the morals and all of that of our nation, I mean, they're just changing so fast that, you know, you can hardly even keep up with it. And unfortunately, the church is changing. The church as a whole. And I'm not talking about little outer formalities. There are new teachings creeping into our churches all across the land. And that's another reason why this message today. But we serve an unchangeable God, and we serve an unchangeable Lord Jesus Christ. In his nature, in his essence, and in his character, he never changes. He may change what he's doing on any given day in keeping with what the situation is, but that does not mean that he has changed in any way. He is ever the same, and that is why we can trust him, because he does not change. So let's look at a few of our general principles here, and then we will just go on from there a little bit. Number one, our unchangeable Jesus represents an unchangeable God. He also represents God's unchangeable truth in Scripture, and he represents an unchangeable gospel message. The gospel message that we preach and proclaim is based on an unchangeable Jesus, and the gospel does not ever change. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said, I can't believe that so soon after hearing the truth, you are now following another gospel. David Wilkerson went to a conference in Costa Rica some years back, and he said, I was going to preach on another topic, but last night the Lord said to tell you all today that very, very soon your nation here in Costa Rica is going to be inundated by another gospel. And that is what is happening all over the world right now. But God does not change. The Lord Jesus Christ does not change who he is and his nature, essence, and character. His truth does not change. His way of salvation does not change. So when we say that Jesus doesn't change, we know that whatever is true of one member of the Godhead is true of the other two. So we're already automatically saying God does not change. And if God doesn't change, then his word doesn't change. And if his word doesn't change, then the gospel message does not change. Number two, in changing and uncertain times, holding to the unchangeable, meaning the things, the unchangeable things of God, holding to the unchangeable takes on a greater urgency and becomes a greater necessity just for survival. And I firmly believe in my heart that we have not seen the worst times either globally or nationally, and that we're going to see a lot more things unfold in the next 48 months. And I'm telling you that the people that are going to make it are the people that are holding firmly, daily, in active faith, to the unchangeable truths of the Word of God. There's going to be a whole lot of people that claim to be Christians that are going to go back, and people are going to say, where are they? There are probably going to be large churches that are today filled with people and have all the money for all the programs and all the things, and that a lot of them are going to fold overnight. When things reach a certain place, then it is found out who are true believers and who are just surface believers or even false believers. And I do believe that perhaps there will be events unfold here in the next little bit that will bring these things to light. And God allows these things for a reason. But while the good times roll, people feel free to take a lot of liberties and do whatever. But the day is coming when those who hold to God's unchangeable truth, those are going to be distinguished from just those who are there because of the crowd or the music or the whatever it is. And we had better start right now holding to that which is unmovable and unchangeable, because God has said in his word in the New Testament that he is going to shake everything that can be shaken. Those are the exact words. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I believe that he is speaking of these end times in which we live right now. So we haven't seen any kind of shaking yet. All we've seen is a few little thunderclouds like kind of gathering out there on the horizon. But there is coming a time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only thing that won't be shaken are the unchangeable things and those who are holding to those unchangeable things. We have this fascination with anything new in our country. Not necessarily a good thing. Number three, as believers, we don't fight change. We just hold to the unchangeable in the midst of change. Let me read that one more time. As believers, we don't fight change. Now, I'm saying as true believers. There are believers that fight change, but they're doing it in the flesh. As believers, we don't fight change. We just hold to the unchangeable in the midst of change. How many here believe you can stop change? I've heard it said that the only thing that doesn't change is change. Let me tell you how much you can stop change. There's change in our personal lives. You all saw the pictures a while ago. Ooh, I'm glad they didn't put me up there. I saw somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. In fact, it was last Sunday when I was down at Hertford, because Barbara and I helped down there in 1980, he said, "Oh, you look so good and everything. I just don't remember all that gray hair." But can you change the leaves from, can you keep the leaves from changing in the fall? Who here, you get all bent out and say, "Oh, those leaves, they can't change. Those leaves, I don't want them to change." And you get all worked up and you yell and you scream and you go on a Facebook campaign. Can you keep the leaves from changing? Let me tell you how much you can stop change. How many have seen a steamroller, one of those big machines with the great big iron wheels, tapping down the asphalt after they've paved a new stretch of road? You all ever seen one of those things? Would you like to be caught under one of them? Let me tell you how much you can stop change. This image came into my mind. You're a flea, and you're down there on that freshly laid asphalt, and here comes the steamroller, and you roll over and put your little legs up and fight that roller with all your might. That's how much you can stop change, or I can stop change. We can't stop change. And not all change, you know, in certain realms is bad or whatever. So as believers, it's not our job, I don't believe, to stop change. Our job is that no matter what changes are going on that we have little or no control over, we just keep holding to the unchangeable. I don't know how many saw, I think the name of it may have been Twister or something, a movie years ago about the storm chasers and all that. And in one scene, the tornadoes come and it has swept the whole house away. And this person has strapped themselves to some kind of pipe that's embedded to the ground. And the wind is so strong, their body is out horizontal like this and they're just holding on. I bet they were hoping that piece of pipe didn't change right then. Because it's the unchangeable. How about that hymn our forefathers used to sing? Rock of ages, cleft for me. The rock is still there. We're the ones that have let go of it. And that's why we get swept away with the changes and with all that. But the rock is just as solid as it's ever been. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. We don't fight change. We just hold to the unchangeable. Number four, God and His Word are the only things that don't change, and they are the only things that actually equip us to weather the storm, whatever that storm may be. I was reading recently again, Matthew chapter 24, and just looking for the direct instructions of Jesus in there. And His first instruction is, see that no man deceive you. And His second instruction is, see that you be not, troubled. See that you be not alarmed, I think it says in the NIV, and we're like, well, why shouldn't I be alarmed? How can I keep from being alarmed? By knowing, by holding to the unchangeable, and by knowing. He says, because all these things are written. All of these things are going to come to pass. So, just hold to the unchangeable. And His Word will equip us to deal with whatever that change may be. It may be some unexpected change in your personal life. How many have ever had some of those? Sometimes it's more like, when haven't I had something, you know? But we just keep holding to the unchangeable. So as believers, we don't fight it. We just hold to the unchangeable. But God Himself is immutable. I looked it up in the dictionary, the really good one, the Merriam-Webster, the elite one. Immutable. Not capable of or susceptible to change. Not capable of, that's internal. and not susceptible to. That's external change. God doesn't change in his nature, essence, or character. Neither can any outside force change him. He neither can change, nor is he susceptible to change. Times change, but God does not change. Customs change, but God does not change. Language and meanings change, but God does not change. Communities change, but God does not change. Moral values and societal norms change, but God does not change. Churches change, but God does not change. Doctrinal positions and how God's word is interpreted and applied change, but God does not change. Whatever is true regarding the character and essence of one member of the Godhead is automatically true of the others. If we know that God the Father is immutable, then we automatically know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are likewise immutable. And if God is immutable, then it follows that his word is immutable. How many remember Jesus saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. God's word does not change, and the gospel message does not change. It means exactly what it meant 80 years ago, 800 years ago, and all the way back to before the beginning of time. What God expects has not changed. What God rejects and condemns has not changed. What God accepts and approves has not changed. And God's way of salvation has not changed. God is ever the same. He is just as immutable, just as unchangeable, just as just as holy, just as righteous, just as omnipresent, just as omnipotent, just as omniscient, just as faithful, just as true, just as dependable, just as reliable, just as available to his people, just as compassionate, just as patient, just as merciful, just as understanding, just as loving and kind as he has ever been. And God doesn't need to be updated. God doesn't need to be improved. God's word never needs to be updated, and the gospel message doesn't need to be updated. We monkey with it to our own peril and the peril of others. How many here have a computer of some sort? How many ever get a little thing pop up and says, updates available? I hate that thing. I could smash it. And every time I turn around, and then I go to shut the thing off, and it says, installing update 1 out of 5. Don't turn your computer off. We'll shut it off after the updates are done. God doesn't need updates. And he doesn't need to be improved. Every time we turn around, new and improved. I'm like, what's improved? You know, the label? God's word never needs to be updated, and the gospel doesn't need to be updated. One of the perils of changing how we present the gospel is that if we're not careful, somewhere in that process, we may wind up in the end consciously or unconsciously changing the message itself. And the New Testament is full of warnings about that. And I fear that that is going on a pretty big scale right now on the American church scene. The temptation to compromise the message in the name of an updated approach or a broader appeal is enormous. And as believers in an age like ours, we need to constantly keep in mind that the gospel has not changed, nor can it be improved. There is no other gospel. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other road to heaven. There is no other way to the Father. There is no other formula for forgiveness and cleansing from sin except the blood of Jesus. There is no other power of God unto salvation. There is no other life-transforming agent. There is no other foundation upon which to build our lives except the unchangeable gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ based on our unchangeable Jesus. Somebody comes to you and says, we've got a better way. We've got a new, improved version of the gospel. We've got a more inclusive gospel. We've got a more compassionate gospel. We've got a more accepting gospel. Don't listen to them. I mean, what could be more inclusive and accepting than whosoever will may come? But that does not mean that God has changed his standards in any way. Whosoever will may come. These people are agents of change, but not the right kind of change. And they are changing. And they are trying to encourage you and me to change. What the Lord said, don't change. Sinners are still sinners. Hell is still hell. God still hates and cannot countenance sin. The devil is still a deceiver. Sin still separates people from God. Religion still can't save people. And salvation by works is still futile. God is still the judge, and we will all stand before him. Jesus is still God's only begotten Son and the only way of salvation. Salvation is still received when each of us acknowledges our sin and trusts fully, totally, and solely in Jesus' blood shed on the cross for our cleansing. God's word is still true, and the Holy Spirit is still active to bear witness to the word of God when it really is the word of God and it's preached and it's proclaimed. Eternal life is still freely offered and heaven is still open to all who come by the way of the cross and still closed to all who do not. Is that hard to understand? No, it's the gospel message plain and clear. It may be hard for some people to accept, but it's not hard to understand. And God wants everybody to come to repentance, experience forgiveness, and start a new life with Jesus. Like one of the programs that I listen to on the radio on the Oasis Network says, you don't need a second chance. You need a new beginning. That's the message of the gospel. The gospel doesn't need a makeover, it doesn't need improving, and it doesn't need updating. If we will just preach the gospel, the message will speak for itself. The Holy Spirit will use the spoken and written word and will bring conviction to people's hearts. He's been doing it for 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost, and he is still doing it today. Preach the word, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. And I know he would say the same today if he were here. Preach the word. Preach it boldly. Preach it without apology. Preach it compassionately. Preach it with the conviction. Preach it loud and clear. The gospel hasn't lost its power. It hasn't even lost its appeal. People need a viable and identifiable alternative to the weak, senseless pablum that passes for the gospel message in many quarters today. They're looking for some reality. They don't want to be told anything you do is all right. They want to know what the solution is. And we need to be the ones to deliver the message to them. The gospel hasn't lost its relevance. It hasn't lost its effectiveness. It hasn't lost its vigor. It hasn't lost its ability to change lives. And our unchangeable Jesus stands behind it 100%. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. He is still the bread of life. He is still the good shepherd. He is still the author and finisher of our faith. He is still the conquering Lord. He is still the great intercessor. He still stands ready to help you and me with whatever we're going through and to show us the way to victory in the midst of our difficulties. And he's waiting with open arms, just like he always has. And he's inviting each of us to come to him and receive the help we need. Let me read to you Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, the same book where it says Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold, there's that word again, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That is our unchangeable Jesus. And He is just as ready, willing, and able now to help those who come to Him and cry out to Him and turn to Him as He ever has. But let us not try to change Him and make Him what He is not. He is still healing the sick. He is still saving sinners. He is still baptizing believers in the Holy Spirit. He is still mending broken lives and hearts. He is still comforting the weary and still bringing good out of what is marred and broken. He's the same, and He'll receive you as you are if you come to Him right now. He is waiting. We're going to break bread here. That's what we call it, communion. This bread's already broken for us. But we're going to break bread here in a few minutes. And it's about His body being broken for us. And it's about the blood He shed. Why was His body broken? Why was His blood shed? Was it not because we were hopeless, helpless sinners without any prospect of salvation or eternal life? And the only way our sin could be atoned for was by the innocent one taking it on Himself. And so, He's done the work. All He's waiting for now is for us to come. When we come initially for that cleansing and forgiveness and that new life, does He give it? Does He give it? Amen. And after He's given it and we've received it, does He then give us encouragement, help, and strength through the Word that we need so we can grow? And when we come to Him and we cry out and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here, does He help us? That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus we need to be holding to. And that's the Jesus we need to be proclaiming to others. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You. And once again, Heavenly Father, all we see around us is nothing but change all the time. But then we come to Your Word and we see the same Jesus. We see the same Lord. We see the same compassion. We see the same willingness to forgive when we come and we confess our sin. And we see that same willingness to just take us in His arms and just comfort us and hold us and help us in our time of need. Lord, help us to truly love You. Help us to come to You. Help us to not make excuses. Help us not to pretend what is not, but to come to You really in honesty and fully and say, Lord, I'm broken here. I need Your help. And then You will do that. You will come in and You will do what is needed. And Lord, thank You that we can always depend on You. Thank You that we can always trust You to be who You say You are. And thank You that You're not far away. You're never further away than an honest prayer. And help us to resort to You continually. David said You were his stronghold. He said, the Lord's my stronghold and my deliverer, to whom I will resort continually. And Lord, may that be us coming to You every day. Thank You that You don't change. And thank You that everything that we see written, including what is yet future and what You have yet promised to provide, it's a sure thing, and that's where our sights are set today. Now bless us as we partake of the communion together. Work in our hearts, Lord. Bring us closer to Yourself and cause us to rely on You more than we ever have before, because we're going to need to. And Lord, there's not a better way anyhow. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.